tonight on Big Head Mode. We are going back into the time machine and looking at a classic Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. Buddy McKinnon, who's with me here. You're excited to talk Phoenix Wright?
I am. I'm excited to do a throwback review.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't done that before.
We got another little segment called Fix Yo
Shit.
thanks to Mr. Snoop Dogg, who had a little bit of an angry rant at Xbox One. Is it Snoop Dogg or Snoop Lion now? I always forget.
It's Snoop Diggity Dogg, and I've been like counting down the days till we could include Snoop Dogg into our show. So
well, there we go. It's finally happened. That's all coming up on Big Head Mode. Hello and welcome to Big Head Mode for another week. I'm your host, Ben Snoop O'Brien. No, it doesn't work. What would my rap name be, buddy?
White Bread.
Ben White Bread O'Brien.
Wonder White.
There we go. Buddy McKinnon is that other manly, masculine voice.
Oh,
I'm trying to build you up after you tore me down.
It's how it works.
We do on this show.
It's how security works.
How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm good. You know, I've been just kicking along, just doing me.
That's good. Because you do you better than anyone else does.
Mate, I try. Except for Snoop Dogg, he does a pretty good me.
Yeah, he does. Well, look, we've got a pretty good show coming up. We got a lot to talk about. We got our show and tell as usual. The aforementioned Fix Your Shit.
Yeah, Fix Your Shit.
We are going to try and limit usage of that word.
I don't think we are.
But we're quoting, so it's fine. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah.
Look, it's late night.
It's all right. People
know what they're in for.
The kiddies are in bed.
Snoop Dogg had a lot of problems with Xbox.
Apparently, yeah.
So we're asking, what do you think needs to be fixed? What do you want to fix?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. And as we said at the top of the show, a flashback review of the Ace Attorney series.
That's right.
Which is great.
I'm very excited.
In the meantime, actually, a little bit of housekeeping.
Okay.
Housekeeping!
That was me knocking on the door for housekeeping. I didn't realize it was a window.
Can you believe it took us 4 hours to pre-record that? That opening sting there. If you're listening to this live, if you're not, well, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
But this may be less relevant to you. We do have next weekend RTX.
That's true. What is
Australia?
RTX
Australia, the Rooster Teeth convention.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you don't know them and you're a gamer,
know them.
Check them out. They're great.
Yeah,
21 million subscribers or something.
Nothing wrong with not knowing them, but go for it. See how you guys
make a lot of great. A lot of great comedy content about games. Some of it isn't even about games, but you know, it's great.
Yep.
Anyway, they brought their convention down under, and we're doing little bits and pieces there. Mm-hmm. The one we can officially say is that we are doing an after hours bonus stage event.
Yep.
Usual place, Giant Dwarf Theatre, on the 23rd of January, 7:30. We still haven't announced guest yet. And that's not because there aren't any. It's because, as is the nature of these things, you can't stuff gets confirmed very late. So we can't say, all we can say is special guests.
That's right.
To be announced.
Sure.
So if you just follow the links, we're doing a Rooster Teeth Expo
show
mm-hmm. and we have special guests to be announced.
That's right.
All I'm going to say. We can't. You know,
that's all we literally can say.
And we may or may not be doing some little thing at the actual expo itself.
That's right.
But again, that'll come out if you keep tuned to Hanabi and RTX and mm-hmm. Rooster Teeth.
All those details will come through post haste.
I imagine very soon. They haven't officially released their schedule yet. So
we'll get there.
We'll get there soon.
It's a couple of weeks away. We've got time.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. We got all the time in the flipping world.
That's right.
But yeah, I got something to get off my chest.
Lay it on me, Benjamin.
I've decided I don't think I enjoyed Fallout 4.
Yes, you tweeted this recently, and why?
Well, So I finished the main story.
Right.
And I just sort of felt like, okay, good.
Done.
It ends in an open-ended way.
Of course.
But I had no desire to go back and explore that world. This was weeks ago now, and I guess I've been processing over the last few weeks.
Mm.
Every time I load up the Xbox and go, what do I want to play? You know, I see it sitting there and I think, do I want to play it no, why don't I? You know, I've been slowly unpacking my thought process.
Did you have the same sort of reaction to games like Fallout 3, New Vegas, Skyrim? Like when you finished those games, were you like, I can't wait to jump back and finish all the...
Skyrim was a game that I loved exploring every cave. I wanted to, you know, every book. Why is this different? The world. Look, I feel like it doesn't have a world.
Right.
I feel like the world is like a random collection of things that are kind of, that aren't connected. There's no history. I mean, it's crazy to me that this is a world that should be full of history. You know, it's about the decline of civilization and all the remain. Like, there should be, you know,
modern ruins. It should just be history, yeah.
But I felt like none of the stuff, like, even though you do find some cool, you know, stories on computers and stuff, none of it added to the world.
Interesting, yeah. Okay.
It's not like, oh, I'm writing the history of this lineage. I don't know. Maybe part of the problem is that it's too close to... Because what is it? It's only 120 years or something.
Mm, yeah.
Maybe that's the problem. Like, I felt like it wasn't... I'd love a dystopian future where society's a little bit more fully... Like, I loved in New Vegas. New Vegas itself was a city that had fully risen up and had its own rules in place. There was a lot of just weird outposts.
Yeah, I do wish there were more, like... expansive sort of like settled areas we could explore to show that life does go on. It does seem a bit, you know, haphazard in terms of, like, I mean, even Diamond City, the main city in the game, was sort of very small, and I don't believe that anyone actually lived there.
Yeah.
A very small handful of, like, I get what you mean. The world didn't feel like it was rebuilding. It just felt like it was just existing, and you would, you know, you want to explore a world which has its own, you know, that is trying to rebuild. You want to explore that time in history, I guess, but although it's in the future. But I think I know what you mean.
It's just kind of, and it's not that the game itself, because, I mean, we gave it a pretty positive review when it came out. Because we were, and that was after, I mean, I'd spent 3 weeks with the game and I was still enjoying it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe, you've played it so much and you've done so much in it.
I feel maybe like it's I fair. That... though. Like, when I look at the map, I see there's a lot of icons that I've walked past. You know what? The difference between this for me and Skyrim is when I discover a new cave, I want to go into it straight away in Skyrim. I discover a lot of things in Fallout and go, yeah, I'll get there later.
And then I
just don't have the desire to go back. You kind of wait and go, well, a quest might make me go there. And then if the quest doesn't, you just sort of don't.
I did the same thing, actually. I don't know why. That's a really good point. And thinking about Skyrim, it's like Skyrim had, well, we were talking about settlements before, Skyrim had so many, like, main cities that you knew existed around the world, and it was nice to see that they existed. Now let's explore what's in between.
Yeah.
Whereas here in Fallout 4, everything just seems to be an in-between. Everything seems to be like a... Yeah, I don't know. But I think I know what you're saying.
I worry that, like, in your... Like, I'm not trying to talk you down
liking it. You are slightly talking me down. I'm thinking
you
more about it now.
Losing the enthusiasm in your voice.
Yeah.
It's just, the biggest thing for me is probably also just the role-playing stuff. Like, yeah, it really does pigeonhole you. I love in a good Bethesda game, and maybe this is another reason, I love to play multiple characters, and I've tried to make two new characters in Fallout, and then given up after an hour, because I've realized that it sort of just forces you to play the exact same game.
Remember, that was your complaint when we reviewed it as well. Like, that was one of your big points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so realizing that, it's sort of like, oh, okay, so it's literally just like I've experienced it the only way I'm going to. Mm. I mean, in Fallout, in Skyrim, you could sort of be like, you know, okay, well, now I'm going to be the archer who hates magic, you know, and avoid all magic, and avoid all magic quests.
It's true. It's
and
absolutely
true. It didn't totally shut you off. You kind of just have to do... Like, the coolest character I think I ever made in Skyrim was a Geralt-based character. Because... This is before The Witcher 3 came out, of course. But because a big mythos of witches is that they can't kill dragons because dragons are so rare. And to have that rule in Skyrim...
Makes it very
was
difficult.
Really fun. Because it meant there was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not doing any of the main quests.
Right. Right,
and so it totally changed.
What
the way.
Would you do if you just saw one in the wilderness?
Defend myself, but then just like
run away.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, and like, because like they only have basic signs. I could only have like tier one of like four basic spells, and then everything else was alchemy.
Wow, so you really played it. That's really interesting.
But see, like, just even now, as I say it again, like that game allowed you to do that. Yeah. It had all the different ways to.
Yep.
You know,
you really can't do that in Fallout, can you?
And I feel like you could in previous ones, or at least to an extent. I mean, they by getting rid of that sort of science skills and all the little, you know, he had that huge skill list as well as perks.
Yeah.
You know, I just sort of, I'd love to specialize more and make like really nuanced special characters.
I feel like the skill tree in Fallout 4, just you could just pick everything, at least get tier one of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and totally.
Sort of spread thin across the board.
And if you play long enough, like you can just be the everything character. Yeah.
It was certainly, it certainly felt like it was, they were focusing a lot more on the story here, which is great. I always appreciate that.
Mm.
But I think some things maybe were lost in place of it. Yeah, interesting.
Anyway, I've shattered Barty's dreams. Yeah. Let's go to some music. Another game that shattered Barty's dreams, Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, don't do that to me.
V Has Come To is the name of the track by Ludwig Forssell.
Good song.
We'll be back after this to talk show and tell. That was Metal Gear Solid and a Solid Snake there on the rain stick at the end of that song.
He wanted to make an appearance.
Look, he's a man of many talents, and that's the only instrument I guess he could play.
His talent is not creating a fulfilling ending to a game.
Oh, boom. Take that, Kojima.
Suck it, Kojima.
You see that great photo of Kojima sipping tea from the cup that had Konami tears written on it?
Oh, really? No, yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah,
he tweeted that.
What a champion.
What a legend.
What a ledge.
Really, buddy? Are you being genuine? Because you just paid out poor old Kojima.
I think that Kojima needs to know his
place. You're being very hot and cold on Kojima.
I am. He's hurt me before, and I just won't let it happen again.
Look, let's move on. It's show and tell time, where the people on the show bring a little thing to talk about that the others don't know about.
that's the worst way to set up this. What does that even mean?
We bring a thing.
They bring it to what we don't know about it.
Basically,
they know about.
There's a story we've read, a game we've played. We bring it. We talk about it.
That's it.
Bardia, what's your show and tell for the week?
I would love, if you would allow me, Benjamin, to talk about the recent.
All right, I already hate you.
I already hate you. Can we talk a little bit about the Hitman new release structure?
This just came out.
So earlier this week, it was announced that all the pre-orders that people had made on the PS4 for Hitman were going to be retracted because they were going to be changing the way they were going to be releasing the game. They didn't give us very many specifics, and then I think last night or something, it was just revealed that they're releasing the game as a full episodic experience, like a monthly content. So their plan is to, the game comes out on March 11. The plan is to release the prologue mission and then one of the locations, which in this case is Paris, which is, I think, the demo that they've shown. I think I showed it at the last convention that they showed it at. Shut up. And that's going to be $15. And then every month they're going to release new locations and new maps. So Italy in April, I think it was going to be Morocco in May, and then monthly content after that, Thailand, the US, Japan, and they're going to do an entire season, and each map is going to cost $10. Mm. So
in Australian, is that? Or?
I don't know, probably not. I mean, who cares about Australia, right?
I care.
But and on top of all that, they're going to be doing like weekly events, and they're still going to be the new contracts mode and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like it's a really odd thing to do, especially for a AAA title like Hitman. I mean, if it was a Telltale game or like a Life is Strange sort of game, it really lends itself to that, I guess, in terms of the narrative. But this is a game that you could I don't see the advantage of doing it like this.
Yeah.
They say they're doing it so that they can put extra time to ensure that every single location and map that they release is of the highest possible quality, right? So
it seems instead like a of delaying the game, to, like,
well, I mean, instead of delaying the game, like something like Deus Ex that they've now delayed to August, it seems to me that they're putting it out so that they can have it out without, you know what, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
it's an odd way to do it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, my instinct is just delay it. You know?
Delay it,
and then I'll play your game when it's made.
When it's made. But my thought is, like, what's wrong with it? Why are you stressing so much?
Also, like, this is kind of like, you know, like you said, it's not a narrative-based. I mean, obviously, there's a narrative, but it's not a story-driven game.
Well,
and my first worry is that this wasn't made to be in this structure from the ground up. And that's a huge, like, I just finished episode 2 of
Life is Strange.
No, the Minecraft Telltale one. And it was really short, like drastically shorter than the average Telltale games chapter. And it left me feeling so unsatisfied. And I look at this and I think, this wasn't designed from the ground up to be this way. Mm. It's going to be a single level. And what, I mean, how long does it take to finish an average level?
in this.
Yeah.
It depends, like, anywhere from, you know, an hour to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like it. It's sort of...
It'd
be like if they released Metal... Imagine if they did that with Metal Gear Solid.
They kind of did.
They released, six versions of Ground Zeroes
right.
a month apart.
Yeah.
It's like, just give us the...
It just seems like the game doesn't lend itself to that episodic structure. I don't know. Like, I get why they're doing it in terms of not being ready to put the game out.
It's kind of sneaky, though, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Because it's like we can release... It's like we can release something early, but then keep you all playing it every month. Like, keep it in your
Having said that,
mind.
Though, I'd rather be playing it than not playing it. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have it there. And if they are gonna fill those months in between where there's not new content with weekly challenges and weekly stuff...
Mm.
I mean, it does increase the longevity of it.
Only if people still give a shit, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Like, totally.
I mean, that is also going to be... Each month is a new month that has another game coming out. You know, instead of choosing one month that was quiet...
Yeah.
...that could have been dominated by a great Hitman game, it's like you play one chapter and then the next month, what? Division's out. I'm playing
that's
Division
right.
or...
And it's I think it's risky for them as well in the sense that, like, people... It's going to be, apart from the story, it's going to be the same sort of mechanics every month. Mm. It's not like, I don't think anything new is going to be brought to the table. People might get tired, especially if they drag it out for too long, if they drag it out for 8 months. Like, I get it. It's you know. So, unless the story is, like, on point and I'm left on a cliffhanger every month,
yeah,
it's going to be hard. I'm still going to play it because I'm a mega fan, but, like, for everyone else, I'm not sure if it's going to... If people are going to care in 8 months' time.
It's a very weird decision.
It's a really weird decision. And also, paying $15 for the starter pack and then paying $10 every month is a pain in the ass. But they have offered, like, paying $60 at the start and getting all of it. So, like, a season pass or whatever.
Or, like, if you will, an entire game.
Or
and a whole complete game.
Yeah, but you're paying $60 and not getting the complete game.
Yeah,
so, it's
I know.
Like, I don't know. It's kind of bullshit.
It just seems like a sneaky way to basically do early access. It's like they're releasing a game,
yeah, totally.
Cutting a game in pieces and then going, you can have this now.
Yeah.
Now, you'll have the rest when we've decided you've earned it.
And you know what's going to happen is after it all comes out, you know, they're going to release a Game of the Year edition and include everything on one disc.
Mm.
Plus, I think PlayStation 4 gets like 6 bonus missions as well. So there's a whole lot, like, I don't know.
Look, I love Hitman and naturally I want this to be a good Hitman game.
Yeah.
But I want this to fail. I want that whole
model to fail. You want the mod, okay.
Because I don't want this to be a thing that other developers do. Imagine how awful this would be for so many games.
This is the same company, Ben, that came up with the idea to do remember the Deus Ex pre-order?
Yeah, which they went backwards on.
Yeah, right. So, I mean...
It will be interesting to see what the backlash is to this. Like, have you seen many people complaining?
I don't know. I think people are mostly complaining that their pre-order on PlayStation just got... cancelled, you know, because they changed the model and everything. But, like, I mean, this is one of the games I'm most hyped about for this year. Like, this is the one I'm super excited for, and I'm a little bit, like, I don't know, I think I'm a little bit disappointed in the way that it's being handled. So we'll see how
I mean
we
I've
go.
Just done a quick Twitter search and not a lot of happy people.
No,
and
why would
I'm
there
seeing
be?
A lot of the top few tweets are Hitman account being very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
If your Hitman pre-order's cancelled, don't panic. Release date's March 11. We're adjusting things. We'll update it.
But it's not. The release date isn't March 11. It's March 11
this
through.
This is heaps of work for them. And this must really piss off all of the retailers and the people that they've kind of...
Yeah.
Anyone who's pre-ordered through already. Like, they've got to go back and...
Change everything.
What
and
a pain.
And totally. I just think, I don't know, it could have been so much simpler by just saying we're delaying it. But I guess they don't want two games that are... You know what it is? They don't want to have two games back-to-back that were delayed in the same year. I mean, Square Enix are also they're also handling Deus Ex.
Actually, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Right. Imagine what that would look like.
That's absolutely got to be what it is.
100%.
Because they had Deus Ex early this year, mm-hmm. and then they had Hitman a little bit later back.
Did Final Fantasy get delayed as well?
15? And now it's like, oh, we've delayed this one thing.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
They're just showing the world that, no, we just want to make everything.
Although it's weird to me that, like, they have the sense to delay one game and say, this game wasn't ready, you know,
mm-hmm.
but not with the other.
Why? I feel like it would be weird hearing that about both games. Like, from the same company saying that this game isn't ready, nor is this one.
Oh, maybe, but they are two massive games.
When has that ever
games.
Happened?
They're two massive games released very close together. People would understand if... they needed time to deliver on two experiences. Yeah. But anyway.
You know, I'm still excited for March 11 to play the first part. Like, I'm still super jazzed.
My show and tell, which is quite small, so we won't be too long, but I thought it was very funny. Did you see that Sony tried to trademark the term Let's Play?
What? Why? How? What?
Yeah.
How do they have a claim over it?
Well, they don't, and it was denied.
Oh, I see. Classic. A classic move. Oh, you see that laptop? That's mine. That's my laptop right there.
Yeah.
Your laptop? That's mine.
It's like, what a ballsy move.
Yeah. I wonder who at Sony was like, you know what I reckon
we'd like to trademark the word video game.
Thank you very much. I'll wait for my check in the mail.
Hi, Sony. Sony here. Can we trademark Xbox?
Oh,
damn. I thought that would work. You know, just a slim chance, but oh, that would have been good.
I mean, look, it's a bold move, and it hasn't panned out, but at least they've made it, you know.
Yeah. Tried. The reason's given for...
Oh, here we go.
Not because the phrase was so vague, which is already a reason that a lot of stuff gets knocked back.
No, because the phrase is so widely used.
Because it is already used in hundreds and thousands of YouTube videos.
Because they need more money.
Yeah, but the main reason, apparently, I'm reading here, another company already owns a very similar copyright.
Let's Game.
Let's Play of America, with a Z, Let's Play, as a company out of Georgia that sort of has gaming events and stuff like that.
Okay.
And they've had that trademark since 2013.
I don't think that's a trademark that's very highly sought after. I've never seen someone spell Let's Play with a Z.
Let's Play.
Yeah, no, Let's Play. It's not working.
Let's... No, it doesn't really
doesn't
work.
No.
Sony
suck. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. That really sends the wrong
impression.
We love
you, Sony. We love you.
We do.
We love you so much that we're going to play a song from one of your games. This is Beyond.
Hello, really?
Nope.
No, it's not.
This is Beyond, from Beyond Two Souls.
Good game.
Getting a re-release very soon by Hans Zimmer and Lorne Balfe.
Hans Zimmer did the music for this game?
Sure did.
Wow.
With Lorne Balfe.
Ah, whatever.
We'll be back after this.
Here we go.
Well, well, well. We're back again to talk stuff to you. Time for our new segment that I'm calling Fix Your Shit, which kickstarted when Snoop Dogg, having some problems with his Xbox account, posted this message online.
A message to Xbox One or Microsoft or whoever the fuck. Y'all fucking server is fucking whack, man. Y'all gonna make me switch to PlayStation if y'all don't help me get this shit fixed. It's that difficult to play somebody online. What the fuck is you doing, Bill Gates? Fix your shit, man.
Fix your shit.
Boy, what did you do, I think Bill Gates? We've used up our language quota for the rest of the year.
I think so. But it's worth it. We nailed it. I think that's all we needed.
Look, he had a point. He did have a point. Bill Gates, what are you doing, man?
Fix your shit, son. God, it's funny.
We've all been there, though. We've all had those moments of just total frustration with something that is broken.
Yeah, but only one of us is Snoop Dogg, and only Snoop Dogg can post a video like that. Do you reckon Bill Gates is sitting at home going,
wait,
guys?
Seeing only one of us is Snoop Dogg?
I'm Snoop Dogg. And it's like Bill Gates, I have this image of Bill Gates sitting at home on his phone, seeing that video going, oh, man, Snoop is pissed at us. On the phone.
Hang on.
Fix our shit.
Got a text from Snoop.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, man. Oh, no, seriously, Bill Gates, get it together.
So look, we thought we would. It could be fun to ask the question: What needs fixing?
Could be fun.
What else needs fixing?
Let's see.
Xbox servers, sure.
Apparently,
I mean, I'd like to know more information, Snoop. Like, what game were you playing? Yeah. Were they Xbox servers?
Was it Xbox's fault? Really?
Because they could have been Ubisoft servers.
Could have also been.
That's what I want to fix.
Yeah,
I'd like Did you notice that recently Ubisoft have just announced that Far Cry Primal won't have co-op?
Hmm, that's cool.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's because they wanted to focus on a single player experience, or it's because they wanted a game where their shitty online servers didn't have to ruin
it. Your face is turning red.
Fix your shit, Ubisoft.
I guess this is the venting segment of the show.
It is. Well, that's something I want them to fix. It's been a long time since I played a Ubisoft game where the servers were smooth.
Yeah.
The best experience we've probably had has been Rainbow Six.
God, that
but
game
even then, you have those annoying times where you have to back out and go in and back out.
Yeah, I think comparatively, we've been pretty good with Rainbow Six. There hasn't been that many issues. But
Far Cry 4, yet to play.
We're going
to
get there. We'll
yet
get
to
there.
Actually connect into a game.
We'll get there.
Unity is just, that was a hot mess of epic proportions. Mm.
So that's, okay, so that's their server issues. What else, like, that's a very clear issue when it comes to gaming in general. What would you fix that isn't server related, do you know?
Okay, I would fix it so that games no longer have that annoying thing where if you're playing co-op, only one player gets the achievements.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You know the games that do that, where the hosting player just only gets the progress?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, fix that.
Fix that right now, straight away. Okay, I've got, I think it's relevant now that we've just talked about it, but I think that specific pre-order bonuses, get rid of them. Just get rid of them? Just get rid of
them. You mean
like...
You mean pre-order bonuses in general, or the ones...
The ones that are specific to specific places.
Yeah, yeah.
Get rid of that. No one needs that. Let's just have, if you want pre-order bonuses, brilliant, let's do that. Also, while we're at it, the way DLC works, fix it.
how do you want to fix it?
Like, okay, so, you know...
So, like, standardized DLC or something?
Yeah. I don't know what I mean, actually, now that I've said that. What do you mean?
I mean, what I liked about the CD Projekt Red's approach to DLC with The Witcher was, like, everything that was small is free.
Yes.
But everything that is, like, you get... It's either free or a substantial expansion.
I don't want to buy a game and then have to pay more to play that game.
Mm.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fix it.
That's good. That's good. Like Battlefront. Fun game, sure.
Great.
But don't make us pay for the game after we've paid for the game.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just jump in with another one.
Yeah, go for it. You're on fire. Struck with inspiration.
I don't like, oh crap, now I don't know what it's called. When a game is like early access. Let's not do that. Let's not do early access.
Okay.
Let's play the game when it's ready to go.
Even for like sort of indie games or games maybe.
I think especially for indie games. Because you're giving away too much of your game really early on. Like, I mean, it's more relevant, prevalent, I think, with like Steam. You know what I mean? Because Steam does the green light and they release a specific part of the game and then, I don't like that. That's just me. I don't like it. If you're into it, I mean, if you want to play the game before it's technically released, I mean, I know Minecraft did that, had a lot of popularity than the game officially released, and it was released to millions of people because people had played the early access. So it clearly works in some scenarios.
Mm.
But I just don't think it's good. That's just
there you go. Fix it, guys. Just fix it.
Just don't do it. It's not worth it.
All right, I got one. Tell me. Telltale Games, fix your release schedule. Your episodic games are coming out months apart at different times. Sometimes it's like, oh, wait, here's 2 in 2 weeks. And then it's like, oh, wait, here's 6 months between this and that.
Have you ever made a game, Ben? It's hard. Sometimes
I have. I made a great little open world Star Wars RPG. Perhaps you saw my Kickstarter.
That guy's a lunatic. Do I have another one? Let me see if I have another one.
Come on, bro. Shenmue, just fix it. It's broken.
No, it's not broken. It's just not out yet. And I want that changed. Fix it. Fix your shit.
What do you got?
We're going to start getting into things that aren't really relevant. I was going to say, Kojima, fix your damn game.
You know what? Yeah, fix that game.
Fix Metal Gear Solid. Make it end. In a way that I approve of. Specifically me. If other people are happy with it, I don't really
this
care.
This has just turned into a vending thing. What's the most broken game you think you've played in the last 12 months?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. Yeah, give me a sec. Now I can't stop thinking about Metal Gear Solid. And it wasn't broken. It was just poorly...
It's bad when a game feels broken and isn't.
And isn't, right, yeah. I feel like it should be broken and it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
No, great. Way to ask the question, you mean.
No, look, probably the closest, I guess, to a broken game for me would have been Fallout.
Oh, you're wrong.
Maybe. Well, that's the one that I had the most glitches on.
Yeah.
I haven't had many glitches, although I had a gnarly glitch in Batman Arkham Knight, but like a couple of weeks ago. But
It was the glitch that you played it?
It wasn't. It was a good game.
I don't know. I never played it. Sorry.
Well, you didn't play it on PC. By the way, fix that game.
God damn, fix that PC shit. Didn't they just pull Metal... Oh, never mind. No. I don't want to talk about Metal Gear Solid again.
Didn't they just pull that?
Fix it. I guess that's why they pulled it, to fix it. It's probably not fair.
Well, technically, that was a beta still.
You're a beta still.
We're losing it.
No, we're not. We're good. I think I have another one. I think I'm onto something.
All right. I'll give you.
Can you give me a couple of seconds?
One more.
Oh, crap. No, I don't know if it's good enough. Oh.
I want to fix Bardia.
See, my thing isn't necessarily a fix it because it needs to be fixed. I'm now getting into the territory of like, here's what I want in a game. I think subtitles should be on by default. Oh, was that controversial?
Oh, interesting. I think so. You have to turn them off.
Yes.
That's interesting.
That's also one of the weirder things I feel like I've said.
I think you can fix that in... I think a lot of consoles, though, you can go to the settings and turn subtitles on.
Too hard. Fix it.
And it makes every game have subtitles on.
Fix it.
No, you. I mean, you can fix that, buddy.
Nah,
they've added the ability...
Don't have to do it. I'm tired.
Okay, I've got one.
Okay,
hey,
good.
2016, stop killing great people!
Oh, man, that's awful.
I'm sorry, but you take Bowie and Alan Rickman in the same week. You monster.
It's really heartbreaking. You really
2016, fix it.
You really brought the mood down.
No, it's great. We'll lift it up again.
Wow, that is... oh, Christ.
Hey, Bardia, I'm going to say something controversial.
Oh, God.
I'm going to say that David Bowie isn't as talented as Prince.
Are you an idiot?
Do you disagree?
Yeah. I like Prince a lot, though.
Maybe you would say... Objection! That was a really, really difficult segue to get into because you were not picking up what I was laying down.
I'm so proud of you, though. Because you committed from the start. It was a long one and you got there.
This is Objection. We'll be back after this to do our flashback review of Phoenix Wright. Take that!
Okay.
Go on, buddy. Go on. Play along. What's a Phoenix Wright thing you remember?
Objection.
You were just so take low in energy, buddy.
How about
look
this
at
one?
You were falling asleep before my very eyes.
You only have those two things. Objection and take that. Oh no, I got it.
Right now you look like a
Hold it!
There we go. Hold it. Which actually is something that, you know, it got awkward sometimes when you said
see, just like
your chair just shrank. You were falling apart before my eyes. I was gonna say, like, with your current like tired looking demeanor, you're not too dissimilar from a defendant from a Phoenix, right?
True.
You'd be the character that's always yawning and
until the moment something gets revealed, and then my character just loses his shit and becomes a totally different, like, you know.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things in those games. Yeah. So, like, what we are sort of, instead of a retro review of the Phoenix Wright original trilogy.
I think we're going to start doing this more often as well.
I think
we
should.
Throwback
reviews. Well, because, you know, it's not realistic that we're always going to be talking new games, and there's a lot of great games that we've all played that we, you know,
they
deserve talking about.
100%.
First of all, if you've never played them, basically, they are courtroom, sort of, what's the expression for the genre?
It's an interactive novel, right?
That's the one, interactive novel. Basically set in a
Which sounds lamer than it
courtroom
is.
Courtroom drama in a world where their legal system is the most terrifying thing
can we do it like this?
Ever. In a world torn apart by an awful legal system where you're guilty until proven innocent by circumstantial evidence.
It's true.
That's true. Basically it.
Yeah. The court cases would never fly in real life.
Yeah, like, the way you win a case isn't by having evidence that proves your client is innocent.
No, it's by having mild superpowers.
It's by having, like, weird specific things that just contradict individual sentences. It's like, yes, the client was seen holding a knife covered in blood, screaming, "I just killed him."
But the client hasn't any hands.
You just said he had a blue hat, and clearly he had a pink hat. Oh my god.
Objection. Hold it. Take that.
I'm sorry, the prosecution's case has fallen apart completely.
Look, I guess that's where the game lies in finding contradictions in those specific sentences. But, I mean, it's fun. It works. And the characters are so animated and quirky, and the game
they are literally animated, but it's a video game.
And at times, it's funny. Like, it's a funny. I like it a lot. Review done.
So look, I mean, the strongest thing I think about this game would be its characters. You do have a lot of great characters that sort of recur and keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
To mention, with some great names.
Oh,
Dick Gumshoe.
And the rest.
Wait, Maximilian. What's his name? Galactica. Yeah. Something. Oh man, we can't remember any of their names. Larry Butts.
Oh, Larry Butts.
Wendy Oldbag. She's my favorite.
Wendy Oldbag. Oh yeah,
the old lady. Whose last name?
She was great.
Miss Oldbag.
Yeah, no, but it's a
funny game. I'd say that's the strongest part of it is that it's got a lot of humor to it.
It's got a lot of character. It's got a lot of its quirks are, I think, its biggest draw.
And its drama. And even though it's even though it's ludicrous, you feel so cool when you when you're being like penned in and you get that like intense ding 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 ding. It's got this intense synth that's just like, oh, the prosecution's got you on the ropes. The judge is about to call a verdict. And do you have any decisive evidence? And you look through and it's like, wait a minute. What's the one bit of evidence I haven't used yet? This old sandwich. And then everyone goes like,
everything goes, dun.
Yeah, like the fast anime cuts where you see like the prosecution recoiling for a blow and is like,
it's very dramatic.
So ridiculous.
What it does really well is like it builds you up to like, I've got this. I'm going to win this. I'm going to win this. And then immediately takes you down to the place of like, oh, no, I'm not going to win this. I don't know how I'm going to come back from this. And then the way you work your way back up to win the case is a very, like, it's a steep climb. But boy, is it a dramatic. And I, you know, it's great once you...
Yeah.
No, don't fail.
Now, like, I feel like we should, I mean, as much as I love this game, I want to mention a couple of little critical points to make it a fair review.
Sure, I've got a couple.
So I've been playing it on the 3DS. It's you can get the whole trilogy. So I haven't played the original version, which, as you were just saying, there's bonus missions you can get.
So I played it on the DS, the main trilogy on the DS, and after the credits for each of those games were extra cases. And those cases were some of the best cases that the game had to offer. You were telling me that because you bought the trilogy on the 3DS on the eStore, you don't have those credit post-credit sequences, which is a shame. So that's one thing. I mean, and those cases were long as well. It's not like they were half-assed. They were fully-fledged, you know, extra cases. So that sucks. What else you got?
Yeah. The 3D, not always consistent.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Well, it has a kind of pop-out effect, which is nice. It sort of uses, I don't know if this was in the original DS, but you can yell objection into the microphone.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
I never did that.
That's great. You feel powerful, buddy.
I don't imagine you do.
You feel real powerful.
I think you feel lonely.
Hold it. Oh. Only if someone in the room next to you thinks you're objecting to no one.
Yeah. God, Ben's losing his damn
mind. Take that!
You right, Ben?
Yeah. I'm just talking to all my old high school bullies.
Jesus. I will say, I think this is going to be one of your complaints as well. It's as great as it is, because, I mean, the game's split up into two sequences. It's split up into the courtroom sequence, which is usually the latter portion of the game, of each case, and then it's split up into, like, investigation, where you attend the crime scenes and talk to the witnesses and talk to the victims and blah, 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 and go to the thing. And it's great, but...
All of which is mapped to one button.
the main button, which is a touchscreen button. It can also be any of the other buttons, but it's like I found myself just going through the motions of just pressing A to, like, skip... Not skip dialogue. We were talking about this before. The game... I don't know how it does it. I don't know why it does it. I don't even know if it does it. But, like, you get very good at being able to skim read everything and get all the information.
Yeah.
But you also just... It becomes a bit monotonous as you're skipping through, reading, like, highlighted... The words that are important are usually highlighted in red or blue.
Yeah.
And you're skipping through, and then I realize, like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just pressing one button, just getting all this information. Is this fun? Am I having fun?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I did have that moment a few times.
Yeah.
Where you kind of...
what's the game here? What am I doing? Am I just reading?
Because it's when it's like you go to, you know, you're charged with narrative purpose to go to a suspect. You're like, this suspect apparently witnessed a key piece of evidence. And you go there and there's like four dialogue options and one of them is about that evidence. And you know that's the one that gives you what you need, but you sort of have to sit through the other three lines of dialogue. And you're like, okay, well, let's see. How are you? Well, okay, where are you from? Oh, how about this weather? Okay. Tell me about the violent crime you witnessed.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
But you kind of have to just exhaust. And there are a few times, like in recent games, it gets better. Like I'm playing Dual Destinies at the moment, and they've kind of fixed it. But there were times in the original games where you'd just kind of not know where to go.
Yeah, right.
Like you'd be like, well, that's weird. I've exhausted all the dialogue options and I've been to every single location and nothing's happening. And it turns out there was just one obscure, you have to show one bit of evidence to one person.
Right.
And it unlocked a new line of dialogue, you know? And so sometimes that stuff didn't feel organic. You never felt like, oh, I want to show this stuff to these people. You never felt like you were actually a lawyer investigating a crime, which, for the record, lawyers don't do.
No, certainly not. They're certainly not mulling out the crime scene, moving shit, taking evidence from the crime scene.
Yeah, in the Dual Destinies one I'm playing now, they discover a body. Like, Phoenix Wright and one of his young lawyers actually discover the body, and the first thing he says is, now, it's time to get to lawyer work. Quick, examine the body. And it's like, shouldn't we wait till the police get here? Oh, yeah, but we've got to find as much information as we can before they get here. And I was like,
no, it might be illegal. No, that's
not what a lawyer does.
No, certainly not. Good Lord.
Also, you would absolutely not be able to represent a person for a case that you were a part of. Like, if you were the person who found the body,
you're immediately
you were not
that
defending
case.
That person.
No. Look, it's in no way a simulator.
Also, how much of the crime in that city is committed by loose connections to Phoenix Wright?
Oh, man.
Totally. The same people get framed like 4 times.
Yeah. Even the... Oh, I don't want to give too much away. But, like, yeah, no, you're right. Is he a criminal mastermind? He has his finger in every single one of the...
But also, he never once defends... I mean, like, you're a defense attorney. I would say 95% of a defense attorney's job is representing people who probably commit the crime.
Sure. Yep, absolutely. Not in this case.
No.
Everyone's innocent in this case.
He's never once had, like, a guilty person.
Right. Again, well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Don't spoil a 15-year-old game, buddy.
I feel like if you haven't played it, you should.
You should.
I mean, look.
Well, the fact you can, it's all there. It's all pretty cheap. Or it's affordable, I think, for 3 games. Like, it is a lot of... It took me almost a whole year to kind of go through them all.
Yeah, that's the other thing as well. These games are not short. I remember playing through them way back when, and when I was catching the train a lot, I would play them, like, knock them out on the train. But I'd sometimes stop for ages. I'd get a bit burnt out on it because, I mean, again, what am I doing? Where's the game here? What am I doing?
See, that is a game that should be episodic.
Well, totally. Because when I come back to it, I'm like, I have no idea what happened. Because you really need to know what happened prior to the thing. So I'd have to, like, go on Game Facts, like, look up where I was up to, and then be like, okay, so I had to do that. Oh, that's right, that happened. So it's a bit, you got to pay attention, and there's a lot of it.
This might be out of left field. Mm. I would play the hell out of a Telltale Games Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd play that.
You know, with more sort of narrative-y kind of interactions, but then...
You should play the Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright
I never played the Professor Layton games. Will it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's totally outside of the canon of both games.
Well, that's settled then.
I will play it then.
So
Very good.
I think they're fun games. You have to like your corny anime
characters,
but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you're down to clown, you'll have a good time.
If you are down to clown, you will have a good time. Benjamin O'Brien,
2016.
Good Lord.
All right, let's go to some messages and then we'll come back and say goodbye.
Yeah, until you get down to clown.
Well, that brings us to the end of another show.
That'll do us.
Yep, buddy. Oh, gee, you're perked up now that we've finished.
Oh, I was perky. You don't know me. You don't know my problems, my struggles.
As always, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, BigHeadMode2RRR or BigHeadMode.com.au. Facebook and Twitter is where we're going to be announcing a lot of RTX stuff. Keep tuned to that.
If you do
want to come to our next bonus stage, tickets are probably once special guests might have been announced. And because it is going to be in the RTX sort of guide as an official event, I'd say tickets are going to sell pretty quickly, so get online to get them.
I hope they do.
Don't just rely on tickets at the door.
No.
But hey, look, that's us. Matt Kelly's up next with Accidentally Kelly's Treat, and we're going to play you out with a treat. This is a song by David Bowie, funnily enough, called Angels of Promise, a song he did for the game he starred in, Omicron, the Nomad Soul.
Yes.
Bye. Right. Bye.